Good afternoon. This is the Art of the Hudson Valley, broadcasting locally on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Greene, and Columbia counties in New York, and streaming globally online at WGXC.org. And I'm your host, Chad Weckler, and today in the studio we have...
I'm Amy Dalala, and I'm here from Etsy. I personally specialize in helping sellers scale their business on Etsy, and I've also been a seller myself since 2008.
Hi, I'm Hallie Goodman. I'm also from Etsy. I specialize in helping sellers market themselves using offsite tools, and I am a brand new seller. I opened my shop yesterday. Wow. Not kidding.
So, you know, we're here today, this afternoon, to talk about Etsy, and that's for our listeners, E-T-S-Y.
That's right.
What is Etsy?
Etsy, at its core, is a platform to help people launch their independent small businesses. We actually were founded back in 2005 in a Brooklyn apartment. At that time in the history of the internet, there were not any online marketplaces for makers. So Etsy became the place that makers could go and not only sell their wares, but to realize that they weren't alone, that there were other people out there wanting to sell what they made and who they were and become a community together.
Who do you think the first makers were? What were they making?
That's a great question. I know that it started with woodworking, I believe. Like a lot of woodworkers, Hallie, maybe you know more to speak to that. It was before our time specifically working at it, but I think it was just everyone just came together.
When did you join the site? Because I joined as a member on Etsy, by the way. Prior to making a purchase, you have to become a member, which is just a quick step, but it just helps keep the site safe. But I signed in 2007, I think I made my first purchase. Wow. So I was still an early girl, but not as early as the question you're asking.
Well, it's an online marketplace where there are buyers and there are sellers. So when you mentioned, Hallie, members, that's to either buy or sell.
Correct. That's both sides.
So how many makers do you think there are? How many sellers or how many shops?
Well, we have some hard numbers. I think Amy's got some.
Sellers themselves right now, as of 2013, actually, we have over 1 million active shops.
Wow.
We also have 40 million members in our community. And in 2013, we did $1 billion in sales.
All right.
Yeah.
A lot of makers out there.
Yeah. And we're talking...
A couple more woodworkers joined in. That's
and we're right. talking around the world.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's one of the coolest things is that it's global.
And we are, too, as a company. Hmm. Etsy, is in 8 countries. We employ over 600 people, 80 here just in Hudson.
Now, the Hudson office, being that we're in Hudson, how did that come about?
Well, I mean, again, it's before my time, but I can tell the story that the way I've heard it. Rob Kalin, who is the founder of Etsy and who you probably know is still in the area doing all kinds of cool stuff. He came up and the space used to be an event space. And I went to a couple of parties there, DJ things.
One of our current employees got married there.
That's correct. Huh? Before the office was open. So I guess he just saw a gorgeous space and I can't speak to his state of mind, but he probably had been thinking about expansion, realized, cost per square foot, not too shabby, and then realized, wait, there's this awesome workforce here, all these creatives here, and it seemed like a natural fit.
Yeah, and they started off with its support, mainly. Mm. So they brought the support branch up here. There were still some people down in Brooklyn up until now, and now, again, we have our 80 employees that, are encompassing the support team, which is great to have the community up here talking to the community.
So it's customer support primarily here in Hudson?
There are a lot of pieces to that. So that's not just, someone rings up and has a problem. It's a little more complex. It's made up of 3 teams, basically. There is straight support, which is, some of us work directly with sellers. Some of us work on the buyer side. And then there's a team called Trust and Safety, and that team, does pretty much what it sounds like. It handles disputes that may arise if somebody ordered something and it wasn't the way it was described, or if someone orders something and they don't get it. Basically, they fight to keep the site safe. And then there's a team called the Integrity Team, and what they do is make sure that the things that are being sold actually qualify to be sold on Etsy. And we haven't really talked about that. We kind of breezed right past it, but that's one of the things that makes Etsy so special. And Amy can really talk about exactly what is allowed to be sold on Etsy.
That's a good question.
Yeah, and that's a great thing because I think a lot of people think of Etsy as just the handmade aspect. Mm. But we not only it's handmade, it's craft supplies. So a lot of the people that actually sell their handmade goods purchase supplies from supply sellers on Etsy. And then there's also the vintage marketplace, which is out of control. It's amazing. I mean, here living here in Hudson, there are so many fantastic antique stores and things like that. But to go on Etsy and see from around the world these amazing pieces. And the vintage itself needs to be 20 plus years old. So there is a little bit of a limitation as to what we consider vintage. But yeah, it makes a very broad shopping experience.
So is that everything that's 20 years plus old? From pottery to ephemera, I guess you name it.
Well, I mean, obviously there are certain limitations. There's some things that we just don't allow on the site because the values don't align.
No houses for sale.
No cars right now.
Yeah, no cars.
Yeah. But those things have been talked about, and you never know. I mean, it's always expanding and getting more interesting on that site.
Exactly. And we do have like a very broad list of the TOU, like the terms of use of the site and what you can sell. So if anyone's unsure of what vintage item they can sell, they can always look directly on our policies page.
Now, I will have to admit my wife is a
seller.
Does
she sell cars?
No, not yet. But she has vintage and handmade, and she's been doing it a number of years. I have to admit, I haven't really gone to Etsy myself to look at, you know, I look over her shoulder and see what she's been
doing. I will tell you this. You better get on there, buddy, because it is the best place to find really unique gifts in this time of year.
It's a perfect time right now.
This time of year, you're going to find stuff that you are not going to be able to find anywhere else. But I love that your wife has those three different shops because it's just like it perfectly encompasses, you know, kind of the breadth of the market. Really cool.
And there's a joy on her part when she says, because it's a store, it's an online store, you have items up all the time until they sell. And she says, I just sold something and it's going to Australia. I just sold something and it's going to Tennessee. The world is watching, and I definitely want to get into selling myself.
Absolutely. Do you know if she uses the app?
No.
Because that's the best feeling. When you're sitting in a crowded restaurant or walking down the street and you hear that cha-ching.
Oh, she well,
just
she
sold
just,
something.
She just got her first smartphone, so.
Oh, she's got to get
there you
on
go.
It. Yeah.
She's on the way.
We have a specific sell on Etsy app that's marketed for sellers. It has everything integrated from their shops. You can have push notifications sent to you, including the lovely noises that make us feel good.
See, that's
ourselves.
Something new I did not know.
Yeah, it's great. I'll be out to lunch with a friend because I have so many friends that sell on Etsy, and they'll be like, woohoo! You're just sitting there and you hear a little cha-ching come out of their purse.
Oh, I like that. So can anybody just go to the website, the Etsy.com website, and look at things? Mm-hmm. But if they want to start purchasing, they have to become a member, which is...
Right. That's like a 30-second process. But, you know, the site is different from a big, giant, sort of faceless site like Amazon. We have to take extra steps to protect our sellers from fraud because, you know, those big, giant sites have, like, margins for that kind of thing. They have it budgeted into that they can take little losses if something happens on the site. On Etsy, you're buying from a specific person, and you know, we're connecting you. And you're going to be able to communicate directly and honestly, you know, get to know each other. If you feel like it, you can really make a friend that way and find out a lot about the product. It's a very, very human connected experience. And so for that, we need you to spend like 30 seconds and sign up so that you're a member.
Now, please walk me through, because I am a potential member and seller. What's the walkthrough for me? How do I start?
Sure. And so this is something that I actually personally went through back in 2008, where I had zero business plan. My New Year's resolution was, hey, I want to make something. I want to do something with myself and for myself. So I took a class, a jewelry making class, and I had already heard about Etsy. I had already signed up to be a buyer back in 2007. And after about a week of class, I decided to open up my shop. And so I went through that similar thing where, okay, at what point is it okay for me to hit the publish button? Can I put up this listing? Can I put up my shop? Can I feel like a legitimate business owner? And you know what? Nike says it. Mm. Just do it.
Yeah.
I can't say it enough that it's just, there's never going to be that perfect moment. Like with so many things in our lives, you just have to be confident in what you made and that you can learn things along the way. We have numerous seller handbook articles that offer information on social media, on promoting your shop outside of Etsy, on bringing traffic in, on how to utilize your titles for your listings and the tags that we offer for listings to be able to found in to be found in search. And that's part of something that is a big aspect of selling online, no matter where you're selling, is being found. So all of this you can learn along the way. So it's starting the shop itself. You have to take some photographs. I personally went at 9 p.m. with my little point-and-shoot camera and held a terrible light over my piece of earrings. And you can go in and look at my sold section and see just how terrible those photos were. Oh. But I sold them. They sold. I don't know how, but they did. And my shop was born. And it's the confidence of, like, your wife going through that where, you know, she sells the pieces and she's like, okay, this one's going to Australia. Every little day helps to make you want to do it.
So how specific is the listing? And because I'm thinking from both sides, I want someone to find my item. And how can I make that relationship between the potential purchaser and what I'm selling get closer?
Happen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first let me just ask, if you were going to be selling something, what would it be?
Probably... Well, I have the advantage of doing vintage and doing my own artwork.
Okay, so for the purpose of this, let's just, what type of artwork do you make?
Photography.
Okay. So for photography, this is actually great to talk about. Say that you, you're going to list your first photograph. One of the things that people are often concerned about when they're going to sell artwork online is it safe? How can I protect my pictures? And so they're not sure how they should photograph them. You know, it's important.
You're speaking of copyright?
Correct.
Yeah.
People are sometimes, I mean, this is just something when I've spoken to a lot of artists, this is a place where they have nerves.
Mm.
So what we often recommend is that you photograph your artwork on a wall or in a space rather than using like a high res picture of the exact photograph itself. That can really help. You're also able to add branding to it if you want to, but there are some reasons why we don't recommend that, because Google doesn't like it and other search engines. So the best thing to do is say photograph it in a setting. Now getting to like a title and tags and how you describe it so that people will actually find it. With artwork, it's really tricky because people like to name their artwork these whimsical names. So say you're like Morning Breeze Upon the River. Well, it's very unlikely that a buyer is going to be typing that into search. So you want to get very literal and put words that you, A, are really your product, and B, that you think buyers are going to type into search. So I'm not going to go too into that because everyone in the world will fall asleep. But imagine, like, give me three words that you would use that really concretely describe your artwork.
So are we talking SEO?
That's, yes,
in
really.
A sense, yeah.
So I would think landscape, location, let's say San Francisco, maybe color, black and white. If it's the Golden Gate Bridge, that would be added to it. But do I have so many characters? Am I limited by what I can say?
You are, but you have quite a bit more than that. So I would say you're on the right track. Most of those are very good. You want to throw the word photograph in there, however.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think you probably, you know, you're maybe a little more savvy than most beginners because all your ideas are very on point. But one of the most awesome things about the site is just like Amy said, you can learn as you go. She put up a photograph that wasn't perfect and she didn't get in her own way. And that's one of the warm and fuzzy things about the site that I love. It's so accessible. It costs 20 cents to list your first listing. Mm. Well, any listing, sorry. Yeah. 20 cents. And that keeps it up for a 4-month period. So you can play with it a little bit and see what works.
Exactly. Having that 4-month grace period that you can continue to tweak your title. I still do. I have listings that I've you know, earrings that I've been selling, the same ones for 7 years that have done really well, but will slowly start to taper off in the views and in being found and everything. So I know that I have to go back and reevaluate, okay, what am I saying, what do I think buyers are searching for when they're looking for this? And that's where going slightly deeper into when she was asking you to pinpoint specific words and keywords, thinking in complete phrases is also a really important thing, because we have a relevancy-based search, which actually is extremely, again, literal to whatever someone is typing into the search box. If someone types landscape photography, that's going to come up, you know, your listing is going to come up sooner than something that says, you know, blue photograph.
Right.
So it must be difficult to find something often. First, let's say you're thinking of a gift and your Aunt Sue loves scarves, and handmade scarves. And that's another good reason to go to Etsy, because of the handmade aspect, which is very unique. I'm sure there are thousands and thousands of scarves.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, so there really are. How do you find the perfect scarf for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so now we're talking from a buyer side. Well, I mean, I'm a very savvy web shopper, so I am great at finding what I want wherever I'm looking online. So I'm good at, basically what you do is when you're starting to search for something that broad, you will pull up, say if I just typed in handmade scarf, I would pull up many, many thousands of scarves. But then I start drilling it down and adding details. Maybe
it's to be alpaca.
Yeah.
Do you want it to be blue?
Exactly. Is it alpaca? Is it crocheted? Is it knitted? Is it giant cowl? Is it long, flowy scarf?
Is it organic? Is
exactly.
it reclaimed?
Yeah. And you just get more and more descriptive. We actually have a couple of really good tips on the site that sort of teach you high-level search, you know, putting things into quotations, adding a minus to the front to, you know, omit certain things. So you can get pretty black belt with it. But one of the coolest things about it is just that sense of chance of like seeing something you never expected to see. And I mean, that sense of discovery, that's what keeps people coming back. And they just don't, a lot of people have a tab where they're just checking the site every day because they're going to accidentally see something awesome and beautiful that makes the perfect gift.
And for the people that aren't, like Hallie, that aren't maybe as savvy as searching and buying like me, we do have like personal aspects of the site, personalized, I should say, aspects of the site.
True.
Where, you know, you can get the Etsy Finds email sent to your inbox. You can when you favorite things, and then our homepage is now set up so that you get personalized suggestions as to whatever maybe you've been looking at or that you've been favoriting and saving for later. So we're going to recommend things for you as per what we think that you're enjoying.
That's true. People really love the curated content. So based on other tastes, you know, we're going to pull up a really cool collection.
Mm.
But then you are going to have that chance of seeing that really
Still.
Wicked, crazy thing that
yes.
you have never looked for on your
Always.
Own.
Always.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pulling from my brain words I've heard Cheryl mention. Treasuries?
Yes.
What's a treasury?
Well, a treasury is a tool on the site that it's really changed in importance recently because the homepage has changed. However, a treasury was always this really cool way to sort of present kind of curated collections of things that you find on the site. Amy has a bunch of experience because when she first joined as a seller, she was definitely making tons of treasuries because it was a cool promotional tool.
Yeah, and that was something that was really important to me in the community aspect that we haven't quite touched on yet, just about...
We'll get there.
Yeah, good. About teams in general. So I was a part of this team that we made treasuries, and it was to help promote each other. It's not meant for a self-promotional tool. It's meant to get the word out about other people. I think of it most about, like, if you see a storefront. Everything that you see in a storefront window is curated. So that's what a treasury is. A treasury is putting to the forefront in a theme... say I'm talking about nautical items for the summer. I'm going to put a collection of nautical items together. So they can share each other on social media. They can, up until recently, they could have that treasury selected for the homepage. It's now actually, they're still used in searches within the Etsy Finds emails. So when we do talk about different relevant themed items to whatever is happening, like, you know, Christmas decor and things like that, we'll link to a search of treasuries. So people can see not just one item, but 16 items.
So they're probably also looking at the person's taste of who put the treasury together.
Right.
Because Cheryl often would say blue.
Mm-hmm.
So all the items were blue, but they were all different made items.
Right.
And all of a sudden they put it into a different light.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, the thing about having a shop online is it's a different process to show your sort of merchandising talent and to show the way that you would display things, just like you would in a brick and mortar shop. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of really creative artists, and they have a lot of talent in that area. So that was a really fun tool to just kind of be able to display, you know, your merchandising eye and your talent for that. But can I jump in and talk about teams just a little bit?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great.
Yes, please.
Well, teams are a really cool part of Etsy. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about like the accessibility, just being in your own house and spending 20 cents and starting a list, you know, starting a shop, basically. Well, that's really awesome and good, but it can also be a little bit isolating and lonely. Mm-hmm. So that's where Etsy teams come in. And teams are really just clubs on Etsy. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, they form around either interest or location. And there are 10,000 of them, actually more than 10,000 of them currently on the site.
Wow. Are those searchable?
Yes, they are. There's a special team section, and there you can search we could search using the word Hudson, for example, to try to see what local teams there may be. And actually, there are a few very strong, serious teams in the area. There's a Hudson Valley team that is extremely professional, and they do tons of craft
in-person
events. They do a lot of in-person events. They're very they're run like a sharp company.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, good job. Keep it up. You're awesome. You're inspiring us. And there are also other teams that are just like, we love bunny rabbits, and they get together and they talk about their love of the bunny rabbits, etc. So it can be extremely casual and just silly and fun, or it can be very serious. They come up with awesome promotional ideas a lot of the time.
We'll talk about that more.
We will talk about that more. Here's the thing that's so cool. We recently helped start a tiny new local team.
What's it called?
It is called The Trade Winds, and it's made up of a handful of really talented, awesome sellers. I don't know if you know Brittany Tybo. Do you know her?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Okay, well, Brittany is really civically minded, and she's involved in lots of stuff. That's how I knew you would know who she is. Anyway, she has awesome energy and she does a lot. So here is a fantastic Etsy story, right?
Good.
She and her husband, I don't know if you know Will. Well, Will used to be my plumber. He installed my exciting high efficiency boiler. Thank you, Will. You did an awesome job. Anyway, those guys make a pretty decent living, plumbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Will and Brittany like quit their day jobs because their Etsy shop is so successful. They have a really cool shop called Tapped, and they make beer taps, these really cool custom beer towers and taps where they'll have like 100 little beer taps for restaurants and bars. And they use a bunch of vintage plumbing pieces.
Isn't there one in the Half Moon?
There probably is. Yes, there is. There is. And many, and they get really, really elaborate and cool. So Brittany, I saw her not too long ago, and I was like, this girl is going to be the girl to start a local team. And she did. And
awesome.
Yeah, I should stop for applause. Yay, Brittany, we love you. But, you know, this weekend, actually, during Winter Walk, the team, along with some Etsy admin who are sellers, are going to be hosting a small pop-up shop. And it's going to have all different kinds of awesome handmade and vintage items. Do you know, it's at 6 Park Place, which is where Dan Bunny's store was for a bit.
Well, it's just practically
just right
across
there.
The street.
It's right there. It's exactly. Visible from Warren Street. Anyway, so we're going to have that with those team members. And I don't know. I think it's just going to be a great time because there's some really, really new sellers, some really, really experienced sellers. So there's going to be kind of an opportunity for mentorship. And
definitely. And after, I have to do a personal plug.
Mm-hmm.
After almost 7 years of having my site on Etsy, this will be my very first in-person event.
Oh.
And thankfully, we just came out with our in-person payments reader. So we'll all actually be using the Etsy in-person payments reader. So we'll have an expert on that from the payments team who will be there helping the other sellers use
it. Now, is
that
a plug-in for a smartphone?
It is. It's similar to Square and PayPal here. So you plug it right into your microphone jack, and it actually connects to your Etsy site. So you can sell, if you're selling an item on the Etsy shop, on the Etsy site, and you're selling it in person, you can actually swipe the card and it will take that out of your Etsy shop and put it into your sold section.
Mm-hmm. So it helps manage your inventory while you're processing.
Yeah,
so
that was cool. One of my questions. If you had something on your store, but you also had that same item out in the physical and you sold it, then you would have to rush home and or get to a computer and delete it. And
right. That used to be what we recommended. And now it can be a lot more seamless.
Absolutely.
Really cool.
Sellers used to have to put their shops on vacation mode, which is basically shutting down your storefront while they did a craft show. And now they can do it seamlessly together.
Great idea.
And we've done similar things to that, to the in-person payments. Like we have just things that help sellers run their business more seamlessly, like having a payment processing option directly on Etsy, which we call direct checkout. So they don't have to go through PayPal. They can the buyer can pay with a credit card directly on Etsy, and the seller can have all of their money through Etsy. And then we also have shipping labels, which is a really great tool. And all of it just integrates everything so easily. And this sounds really silly and spammy, but guys, as a seller myself, having knowing that the tracking number is going to be right there sent to the buyer when I hit shipped and everything, it's just invaluable.
Yeah. I think if you're a seller, those terms are really exciting to you. They're probably quite dull to everyone else, and we apologize.
Well, I also have to admit I do sell on another marketplace, online marketplace. So that's why I'm interested in another one, because, we want to make money. We want to
Let's talk a little bit about that. Tell me, where you're selling and what you think. I mean, I will also say that many, many Etsy sellers sell on multiple venues. It's just another revenue stream, And, the economy being the way that it is, it's really important to stay nimble and, just test the waters in a lot of places and see what works best for your business. But I'm assuming if you're somewhere else and you're kind of peeking over the fence at Etsy, maybe it's because not all your needs are being met, or maybe you're looking
for more another audience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I do like from, this other marketplace, the shipping labels now, which makes things a lot easier. I hadn't done that before. I did my first one this week and it was so easy because Cheryl told me what it was all about.
Well, Cheryl can probably explain the Etsy ones to you as well.
Yeah.
And I certainly find from my experience and also hers, it's very important to be organized.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe, can we just talk a little bit about that sort of, what it takes to make a go of it as a seller? I feel like, you were saying, you have to be really organized. I guess where I'm coming from is just sort of thinking about some of the people I know who have maybe opened a shop, stocked it, and then maybe they never came back to it.
Mm-hmm.
They slowly let everything expire. And then they thought,
darn,
Etsy just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And so what I'd like to talk a little bit about is maybe, just sort of the headspace, the way to approach it, because that really doesn't work. You do need to get in there and kind of give the shop some love every week. And I know, I just feel like, Amy, you have so many cool tips and pointers with that. And I'm sure we could, because I think if we're here, maybe we can offer a little service.
Yeah, well, and that actually brings me back to the whole idea of a storefront, like thinking of a brick and mortar shop.
Yes.
Would you set up your brick and mortar shop with one single item and then walk out the door, leave the door open, and just hope that someone comes in and buys it?
Right.
Probably
waiting
not.
For your one true prince to walk through the door.
And that's where I did say, okay, yeah, just do it. Just set it up. The point is you still have to come back the next day. You have to come back the next day and learn everything that you can, but at your own pace. So, again, with the seller handbook articles and things like that, and the teams that are, again, not to use the word again, but invaluable, that it's like you can learn from these people. Again, to go back to the personal aspect, I was one of those sellers that started my business from home. I was home all day by myself with my three cats. Hi, guys. and I met other people like me that were by themselves working on their craft, doing their thing. And we started what we called the virtual office. So we would actually turn on our videos and sit and make stuff together all day. So we wouldn't necessarily even talk to each other, but we'd have each other in the background of our computers knowing that we were there.
You're not talking about you and your cats.
Maybe. Maybe it was my cats. But no, it was a neat thing because it wasn't even people that did the same thing. I mean, there was one girl that was drawing on vintage bags, and there was another girl that was, looming yarn into skeins and everything, and it was just fantastic.
So cool.
So there's
so
just, cool. But again, it was an everyday thing. It was because I had to be there every day that I'm like, okay, well, if we can sit here together, even though we're not together, let's start this.
That's great. It totally speaks to sort of that hunger for community.
Yeah.
When people are calling in, I would imagine people have a problem. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the dispute process.
Sure.
What's the most common problem that you come across?
There is none. I don't know. Would you say that there's a common problem?
No. I mean, I would say that most commonly there is a bit of confusion about how the site works. People who have come to the site and maybe didn't ever read anything and made a purchase, they don't necessarily know that they made it from a person and not Etsy itself. So
it's a good point.
I mean, that's really the most common issue that we deal with. It's very, very simple, but we just remind them and tell them how to connect with the seller. That's really all it is. It's very reassuring to them because, of course, they immediately are like, I bought something from you. Where is it? And, we can plug in and be like, well, you bought it from Joanne in Alabama. She's real nice. You should probably call her or not call her. Email her. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and I think that other than the buyer aspect of the confusion over, who they're buying from and everything, on the seller side, I think that there isn't a common thread always because of how unique each person's business is. And that's where being able to fully understand our website and how it works is so important for us because we want to then apply it to everyone's business.
Right. I mean, going back to Brittany, they're very successful, but when I was talking to her, she's always saying there's tons of tools and features on the site that she doesn't even know about. So learning at your own pace doesn't mean, your shop is not going to do great until you get it all mastered. It just means there's always room for expansion and growth because we are always trying to develop new, cool, awesome things that are going to shave seconds off and make the organization better and, make the whole process more seamless because at the core, these are really creative people and they want to spend most of their time, if they can, creating and designing and coming up with new amazing ideas. They don't want to be spending hours and hours dealing with shipping minutiae and worrying about, inventory. So, we're trying to make friendly tools for them with an artist in mind. Mm.
Absolutely.
Now, there was a recent change in policy about small manufacturing, and so there's a new policy in place. Can you talk about that? Because there was a lot of chatter amongst buyers and sellers.
Absolutely. Do you want to take it, or do you want me to jump in?
It's all you, Hallie.
All right. Well, so what he's speaking about is that about a year ago, we changed the rules to allow approved manufacturing help. And the reason that we did that was because in our former system, when a seller became really successful on Etsy, the way that the rules were currently, they pretty much were forced to leave the site because at a certain point you can't scale your business when you can't hire anyone and when you can't perhaps get like sewing help. And I just use that as an example. And so what we found is that, when these people did want to expand and grow, they were often using the small batch manufacturing, usually local, usually really aligned with our values. And so it wasn't this big, bad, overseas, scary, huge,
shipping
factory scariness that we often think of. And so we set up a process whereby they could apply. And when approved, they can use, responsible manufacturing. And it's been a really interesting, cool process to see because there have been some sort of unintended benefits. And some of that has been, this boon to local domestic manufacturing, to small factories being able to hire up again.
And local economy. It helps a local economy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there definitely was a fear, you know, that was Etsy was going to lose its focus of handmade. And it just hasn't happened. That has not been the case. We're still it's very important to us what is on the site and that it is authentically fitting our criteria.
And it came down to the point of who were we to decide how large a business could be and why they could no longer be considered handmade. If this person is still designing every aspect of what they make, but they literally don't have the time to market and do administration work and sew whatever they're making, you know, maybe they can go to their sister's shop that they've set up a seamstress parlor down the street, which honestly is more often the case happening. These are people in their own backyard that are helping them make these things. And
I think we had the number of 89% of the approved manufacturers are domestic. So I think by and large, I mean, part of that you have to understand is these are small business owners. They're entrepreneurs. They care deeply about their product. And so why would they put it in the hands of someone where they can't literally walk over there and check that stitch?
Yeah.
You know?
And what maybe they haven't thought it all the way through, that's where our process of screening it actually comes in. We have a team that looks at all of these applications, and unless they're absolutely sure that they have authenticity over the design and what's happening and, you know, the responsible manufacturing itself, then they're not going to approve it and they're going to ask for more information.
I'll take a station break to remind our listeners you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org. And this afternoon we're talking with Amy and Hallie about Etsy here in Hudson, well, globally. But I want to segue a little bit to the Hudson home because it's grown. I've been there a few times and it's... my opinion, it looks like a great working environment.
Yeah,
and
it's the worst.
And for instance, tables are handmade.
Correct.
Many of the items that are there are handmade. And I learned recently you have caterers come in a couple times a week, local caterers, to present lunch for your employees.
Cheryl of Black Eyed Susie's.
Oh, love her so much. So, yeah, let me talk just a little bit about the vibe and culture.
Yeah.
You are correct about all of the details that you mentioned. The Etsy office has, and this is true with all of our offices, our tables are handmade, and they're handmade by a local designer. A lot of our stuff is made by Rob Williams, who is brilliant and a friend and sold me my house. Small world. Well, we have Etsy twice a week, which is a catered lunch.
It took me a while to... It's not Etsy, it's Eat.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of cutesy little sayings like that that you just have to roll with.
Etsy.
Etsy, true. We all go skiing. Oh. Anyway, with Etsy, what's really cool is we kind of follow... It's an example of us following through on our philosophy of many small. Rather than just have one, you know, person that caters it all the time, we use many local caterers to sort of spread it around. And the food is crazy delicious. And it's also just a time for us to all stop and kind of get together and come together as a group.
Exactly. My husband still does not understand that I don't talk to my coworkers very often. Because we're at our desks. We're doing our jobs all day. And so this is the moment twice a week that we can, you know, have some time to actually sit and talk about maybe projects that we're working on or things we can collaborate on or just...
the yummy food.
Goofy things that are happening. Yeah.
And being a responsible journalist, I have to also mention there was some controversy about bringing in people who weren't local at first to work here in the Etsy.
You mean me?
Where did you come from, Amy?
Brooklyn.
It's a lovely place.
Amy, let me ask, did you move here for the job or did you move here first?
Oh, okay. I did. I moved here for the job.
Got it.
Specifically because, sorry, Brooklyn, but I wanted to leave you. I was, you know, I'd lived there for 11 years and I was just ready for back to country life. I'm originally from Wisconsin and wanted to get back to the small community and knowing the people that I lived around. And I heard about the Hudson office having opened and I was interviewed and was accepted. And I was the 15th employee, I believe, up here.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Early. So
you've added to the economy in many different ways locally.
That's correct, I would say. But, you know, let me talk about that, because that is kind of a bummer that that's the perception still. I'm sure that it was true. A small group of people came from the Brooklyn office to open up. You know, Lori, who's, you know, a great friend, is one of them. I think she was in that first group of three, and she's still there. Now, that, even if they had all been brought from Brooklyn, it is, they do really offer a really awesome benefit. People moved here, they bought houses, they eat here, they shop here.
Lori started
we like
here.
New people. Yeah. We're not against new people. But, you know, it's definitely nowhere near the majority.
Yeah.
Now, the Hudson Valley is big, and, you know, this is a very specific skill set. And so, you know, we had a local job fair recently. I think it was like 120 people mm-hmm. attended. You know, they actually had to cut it off because we were at like legal capacity. So there's been a lot of effort to hire locally, and it has been successful. I think if people see people wandering around town and they don't recognize them, they just think that, you know, they were imported from Brooklyn. And it's true that many, many people from New York City are moving up here, not necessarily having any connection to Etsy, but, you know, there's a big influx. I'm sorry, but whether we like it or not, this is a real cool town, and word has gotten out.
And I also find that a lot of the businesses, brick and mortar businesses here, their employees don't all live in Hudson. They live in Greene County. They live further places, Columbia County, up near Albany. They come here because work is here, and when they are here, they do add to our local economy. So,
well, I guess that, you know, I guess it just really depends on what you think of, you know, how strict you're being about local too, because it's like, would you say somebody that lives in Greenpoint, you know, Greenport is in Hudson?
Right.
Definitely, you know, there's people from Kinderhook. There's people from
Saugerties, Albany, Troy, Great Barrington.
I mean, upstate New York is.
We're Hudson Valley local.
That's right.
That's right.
For your personal experiences, what have been some of the really, you mentioned the beer taps. What are some of the interesting items that you have come across that are just, you go, it blows your mind? Something unique.
The coolest things on Etsy that we've seen?
Yeah.
Well, there's the local gentleman, which I'm sorry is escaping my my knowledge of his name, but he makes the fire bowls, the fire pits. But unreal. We went to his studio and actually got to see his space and how he makes these things. And they're just out of control, large and gigantic. And he gets these big shipments in. And he does it all himself. And he ships them. And he sells them on Etsy. And they're beautiful.
I would imagine a buyer has the opportunity to come and pick something up locally.
Oh, but they do.
Yeah, they do that. Sellers are able to offer local pickup. And Amy was telling me earlier, you got to tell them about your local.
I actually would do that often in Brooklyn. But it was mainly gentlemen, sorry guys, for late presents or things like that, that they would say, hey, can I meet you at Connecticut Muffin down the street? And, you know, I need this tomorrow. And that was my favorite. I love the rush order of you can't get that anywhere else. I mean, yes, okay, Amazon can deliver next day, but did they send someone over to your house?
It's a drone.
Come in and, yeah, like, let's have some tea together and talk about how you found me and things like that. And so that's like the epitome of the person-to-person, peer-to-peer, buyer-to-seller experience that we offer, is that they can do that.
I'll throw in a strange question. Is there ever the possibility of an Etsy retail store in the future?
There has been. We've done pop-up shops. We did one in New York City 2 years ago. We did one in Australia last year. I believe we've done one in the UK as well. But for long term, those are just, you know, for a month and for Christmas specials and things like that. I can't speak to that. And I honestly don't see it happening.
But I don't think there are any firm plans for that. I think what's probably more likely are continued partnerships. You know, there have been some really cool programs placing some of our sellers' items in West Elm. There's been a similar one for, I think, Nordstrom. Yep. And really, these things are so cool. They act as sort of incubators for someone to launch what ultimately is a larger and more successful business, giving them this awesome start that way.
And that actually segues perfectly into something we haven't talked about, which is Etsy Wholesale.
Awesome.
Which is a totally separate part of the website that is only accessed if you're approved into Etsy Wholesale. But we now offer this platform for people to sell their wares at wholesale prices. And that's where the partnerships with Nordstrom and with West Elm came in. So,
Great idea.
Yep. So that's Etsy.com/wholesale to check out to see, you know, what it's all about, what you would have to do. And that's another learning curve thing of whether or not you're able to sell your wares at 50% off retail market price. And things like that, but it's always something to think about if you want to further your business.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you do allow a sort of an open door policy here in Hudson for people who may need some help?
Really. No.
unfortunately, we just can't do that. We can't have people just walk in. But that's kind of, that's one of my goals with the local team. Mm. You know, teams are so awesome because they offer mentorship, so it's not so sort of siloed, like one person learns a skill, nobody else knows. You know, people are really good at learning from their peers. So I was hoping that we'd have a local team as sort of an arm so that I can just always reach out to them and say, okay, let's have a workshop on this thing. They're a good base just in, and they can reach out to their friends. We are going to start having more events, more educational events.
Didn't you have one a couple months ago, not too long ago?
Yes, we've had a couple special things recently. We had an Open Your Etsy Shop workshop.
And we do the craft fair. Mm-hmm. The craft party.
Yeah, craft party, maybe what you were thinking of. And those events offer opportunity for sort of tutoring. But what we really like best is to connect people with their peers, because people learn from doing, and someone can explain to you how they tried something and what kind of result they got much better than reading a little instructional booklet, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that this is my goal for having the two of you here to talk about Etsy, because there are, as we were saying before we went on there, there are people who don't know about Etsy, and there are people that do. There are people who do only purchase, and there are people who sell and purchase. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a wide, I mean, we could spend a lot more time talking about how to help each person. And Hallie brought up Christmas coming up. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen a lot more people wanting to purchase handmade items, and they love finding artists and makers who make items. And my brief time of going on Etsy and looking at things, I am just amazed at the quality that I've often seen.
Well, that's really cool to hear. But I agree with you. I think that people are more and more excited about finding handmade things, and I think they really care about the story behind it. I think they really care about just sort of that human connection and learning about the process, et cetera.
And you have that ability where maybe you don't on Amazon, things like that, where you can actually ask a question. Like if you're not sure about something, a lot of things are personalized, so you can get that personalized Christmas gift. And it's like, if you don't know if it's going to be here in time, you can check their processing times, you can check their shipping profiles, but just ask them.
Yeah.
They're there.
No, Cheryl's gotten questions about, can you measure the length of the sleeve and, you know, all these sorts of things. And Cheryl's more than happy to do that and have that, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, that sort of organized responsibility of being a seller.
Mm-hmm.
Having that organized, having the item, knowing how to weigh it, charge the postage.
Right.
Cheryl takes a lot of pleasure in doing the packaging and making it look
right.
Nice, so that the seller, when they the buyer, when they receive it, they not only is the item wonderful,
it's so special,
it just comes in,
they get
in
the personalized note.
It's another really aspect of her branding, but I just love hearing that, how much care she puts into it, because believe me, they feel it.
And here in Hudson, it's so interesting that Etsy found a home here.
Mm-hmm.
Because my opinion, I'm kind of slighted towards Hudson as being this unique, almost handmade, handcrafted, whether it's something that you eat or something that you wear or something that, is whatever that you want, decoration, home interiors. I mean, it's a perfect match.
We agree. I mean, I think we both really feel that way. That's why we love living here.
Absolutely.
Has Etsy in Hudson kind of reached the limits of your own home, or
the sky is the limit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand that question.
Well,
sorry.
Are you looking possibly, could you hire more people?
Oh yes, we're going to continue to grow. I don't have any hard numbers, but I know we're hiring all the time.
Yep. There's no end in sight. We're continuing to grow, especially the trust and safety team is growing up here and everything. And
keep an eye on the board. Everything, every job is always posted online and you can find it on the website and they go
the
quickly. Keep an eye.
And for, again, to remind our listeners, Etsy.com, very simple.
E-T-S-Y.
E-T-S-Y, and it has come up in the past, what does Etsy mean? Which is sort of no answer, is it?
No, not really. There's the answer that an Italian movie was being watched and a word was mispronounced. And usually the follow-up to that story is that the same story is never told twice about what that name means.
That's so true. That's
yeah,
good. I've heard quite a few, but I honestly, I'm not an authority. It is before my time.
Yep. And I think there's probably a core of one person that knows that answer.
Yep.
Let's just keep it that way. Well, we've only got less than 5 minutes. Amy, have we covered everything you'd like to say? You got any little...
Well, while you're thinking about it, I just would like to plug our cool pop-up shop that we're going to be doing during Winter Walk. That's going to be from 5 to 8 at 6 Park Place.
Just off 7th Street Park.
Correct. If you happen to wander in, you're going to see a whole bunch of awesome goodies. Some really new sellers and some really seasoned sellers are going to be side by side showing their handmade beautiful stuff. I'm going to be selling some cool old vintage stuff that I pulled out of a barn. And I just think it's going
to
be a feel good time. Yeah, honestly, if you want to show up and ask some questions.
Oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Since we don't have an
very
open door
specific
policy, yeah,
we will not be able to escape you, so please try.
Hallie, what's the name of your store?
My store is called I had to think for a minute.
Well, it's brand new.
It's so new. It's called Old Road Relics. And it takes its name because my partner and I, Heather, we've opened the store together. We pulled most of the stuff from a 100-year-old barn on a road called Old Road.
Perfect.
There you go.
So it's vintage.
It's vintage. Everything is significantly 20 years or older.
So when, you know, here's a question. I go on to Etsy. Do I type in the name of your store? And if I'm looking for a store and don't know how to look for it, how does that happen?
Well, basically you do. You type in the name of the store into the search bar. And the only trick is, if you want to be taken directly to that store, you don't want to put spaces between the words. It's one word.
Oh, okay.
And there are further tricks, but without being on the site and having it in front of you, I think it just might be a little tedious.
There's also a shop search. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the homepage of Etsy and you go to the lower right side, it'll say, you know, search by shop.
Can you search by location?
Yes.
You can.
You can filter by location.
Oh, that'll help. And Amy, what's your store?
My store is called The Peach Tree, and I sell gemstone and freshwater pearl jewelry. And I will also be at the pop-up shop.
She will be there.
One of the things that Cheryl and I, we only have a couple of minutes, but when you sign up, now this is the case, you know, for any marketplace, picking a username, picking a password, and Cheryl spent a very frustrating couple hours. Oh, that username's taken. Oh,
right,
that username's
right.
Taken. Just one of those.
I think it's just one of the side effects of having such a giant community at this point. I mean, you might think something's pretty unusual, but once you get 40 million in there.
Exactly.
Someone else may have had that thought.
Yeah.
Well, that's where, like, if you already are branded and you have a shop name that you've registered or things like that, or a business name, when signing onto Etsy, you can think of things like, should it be the Peachtree Studio or the Peachtree Shop or things like that. That it's like, for the sake of starting your Etsy business, you can tack on an easily forgot about name onto your business.
And if anybody has a problem and they're on the website, is it a chat room that people go to, or is it just an email?
It's through our help page. There's a contact point.
Frequently asked questions.
We have an FAQ page. We also have the forums, which is like kind of what you're saying in a chat room type of situation where people can, there's different boards like discussions and things.
I should definitely have the two of you again sometime.
It was really a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We may have been the first program here on WGXC to have not only makers of Etsy, but makers. You guys, you know, are awesome.
All encompassing.
Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for coming to the Art of the Hudson Valley. We'll be signing off soon, and I just want to remind our listeners, you've been listening to the Art of the Hudson Valley. I'm Chad Weckler, and I am every first Thursday of the month. So this being December, I'll see you on the new year. And I thank all our listeners for listening in. If you know someone who missed listening to this program, check the WGXC archives, and you will find that program here for future listening. Thank you, everybody. 90.7 FM.